Last week we talked about honor and how we're to honor. This week, man, how many of you have ever read a scripture, right, and started like had a principle and read the scripture, like, this is my scripture I'm going to use, but then during your study you realize that that's not at all what that scripture was talking about? Have you guys ever done that? I mean, like, man, this is going to be this one. It's going to be great. And then in the middle of it, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Let's back up. This is something totally different. So in my message this morning, in my studies that I did this week, it was about more what I was talking about was and we're going to read it here in just a second in John 21, 15 through 17. It's Jesus talking to Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Well, let's just read it. Let's get into it. Verse 15, he says, when he had finished breakfast, Jesus had said to Simon Peter. Now, this was after Jesus had been resurrected in one of the meetings that they had. He said, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to them, feed my lambs. Then he said to them the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to them, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved, and he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And he said to them, feed my sheep. We're going to read here in this scripture, in this story, three different commands that he gives to Peter. And although they translate really, really close, they mean different things. They're subtly different. In the scripture, believers are referred to as sheep all over the scripture, throughout the scripture. First, we see it Psalms 95:7. And we read, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, that's Psalms 95, verse 7. Then we see Jesus referring to himself about being a shepherd, about being the shepherd and the door of the sheepfold. In verse John 10:11, we hear, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd always lays down his life for his sheep. In verse 9, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, will go in and out, and will find pasture. What does that mean, to find pasture? We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But what happens, you guys drive by and you see the cows out in the pasture and feeding, and they're in a secure place. They're in a place that has what they need. They have the food that they need. They have the protection that they need. They have the water that they need. They have everything provided and put in one little place, right? Sometimes people look at it, it's crazy how we do the same thing. Have you ever seen a cow or a horse or something that's in the pasture and they've got like 10 acres worth of pasture, but they want the grass that's on the other side of that fence, and they stick their head through that fence and are eating at the grass over there, right? All this is provided, but that's what I want. The grass is always greener sometimes. That's what it looks like. But anyway, going through this. And studying all through this, I did a little bit more than I usually do as far as going back to look at the Greek and the translations and how it works out, because I found out that they were a little bit different on what he's actually saying to him each and every time that he says this. It's not the same thing. I remember the story as a kid, hey, if you love me, feed my sheep, and him telling him that three times. I don't know if you guys remembered it that way, but until you get into it and you start looking at it, man, the first time that Jesus says it, in the Greek, he literally means to pasture or to tend to the lambs. The Greek word for pasture is in the present tense. It denotes continual action of tending, feeding, and caring for animals. Then he says this, feed my lambs. Take care of the babes in Christ. How many of you know a lamb is different than a sheep, right? How many of you know that our spiritual and physical lives are a whole lot alike when you put them side by side, when you start to think about it? When you start to look through it, and we see that we see that as we grow in Christ, we develop just the same way as we grow in the physical, we develop. When we were first born, what happens? We got to babysit my little nephew here for a couple of days and kind of help out. We didn't babysit him just by ourselves, but we got to help out, and because my niece was in the hospital and different things, and so somebody had to help take care of him going through all of it while Matt was at work and different things were happening. So we got to go over there. But how many of you know they need a lot more than I remember from when I had my two, right? They need a lot of attention. They need a lot of care. Leo is amazing. He needs to be held a lot. Like he needs to be held a lot. Like my kids, we used to just put him in that little bouncy thing and be like, okay, bounce a little while. And they were like, good. You know what I'm saying? He's not that way, right? He needs to be taken care of. And how many of you know each and every one of them is different, right? And as they grow, what happens? They need to be taken care of. They need to be taken care of in the manner that fits where they're at. You know, Christianity is no different. See, we have a lot of Christians that come to know Jesus, that start this new life, that are new creatures, new creation in him. And what do? Go out and do good stuff. Thanks. Right? When what needs to happen? They need to be taken care of. They need to be taught. They need to be trained. They have messes that they're going to make. They need help cleaning up. Right? There's things that need to happen. And he's telling Peter here, man, take care of the babes in Christ. Take care of those young ones that are coming to know me. He describes the people as lambs. He's emphasizing the nature as being immature and vulnerable and in need of taking care of. We need to take care of those who are new to the Lord. Then you get teenagers in Christ, right? Same as you get teenagers today. They know a lot. They know way more than everyone else. And they still make a lot of messes, right? Still have a lot of things that need to be cleaned up. You know, some of us are still in the teenage stages of Christianity. Some of us still revert back to those teenagers. You guys know those adults that never really grew up. They're still a teenager inside. Just their body kept going. There's a lot of Christians that are that way as well. There are a lot of Christians that never mature to the full potential of what God wants them to be in their life. In this scripture, man, Jesus says, take care of my lambs. Take care of my lambs. Feed my lambs. John 3:3, Jesus said, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Just like I said, as a newborn needs it, the extra care, so do we. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow to salvation. So my little nephew, he's on formula and different things and breast milk. And so what happens if I throw a steak down in front of him? He might really want it, but he ain't gonna know what to do with it. Right? He's going to have a rough time. But yet we throw out God's word in front of the baby Christians that really don't understand, that don't really have the foundation of what they should in the scripture, and expect them just to pick it up and chew on it, take care of it, and run with it. We should be understanding and understand that we're all at different stages in our walk with the Lord. And because of that, we need to be treated a little bit differently at times. There's a lot more grace that comes for a baby if he spills his milk than if a 43-year-old spills their milk, right? That's a lot more grace. There's a lot more grace for an... This is going to be... No, I ain't going to go there. There's a lot more grace that is afforded to kids because they're kids, right? But let adults do the same thing. But yet we see the label of Christian and we put all of it in one basket, that we're all perfected and that we're all perfect and that we don't make mistakes, that we don't mess up, that we don't need help, that we don't still need to learn the principles of God and allow that change and transformation to come into our lives. We all need it. We all need it. The second thing we see when he talks to them in your notes is he says, feed my sheep. When you look at what he's talking about there and the second time in the exchange, Jesus is emphasizing tending the sheep in a supervisory capacity, not only just feeding them, but also leading them to where they need to go. This expresses the scope of Peter's pastoral insight, but also that the pastors that are to come and the shepherds that are come and the people that are going to come, the leadership that's going to be there helping carry people to where God has created them, leading them in the words, putting those principles in them, allowing them to go say, hey, this food is not good over here. You need to come over here. Now, in saying that, I'm not saying go say, don't go to this church, come to this church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about in the scripture, and when you show them the scriptures and what they need to be reading and what they need to be doing. You know what? Revelations is a great book, but if you don't have the rest of it down, it's going to hurt you more than help, I think. Right? I had this one guy, man, he was part of a church, and he said, our whole church, the focus is Revelations and what happens to us after we die. I was like, well, I got enough. I just saved, right? I was just back in. I was like, dude, I got enough to worry about whether I get it right here. When I get there, I think it's going to be like boot camp. They're going to tell me where I'm going. You know what I'm saying? I got off the bus. They said, go here, go here, go here. I'm like, all right, here I am. Right? I'm figuring that's what's going to happen when I get there. I get there, they're going to be like, hey, this is where you're at. This is what we do. Come on, man, hang out. Okay. That's in my mind. Now, is it good to go through it and to learn and to see? Yes, it's always good to study the scripture. But if you're new in Christ, man, maybe you need to get the fundamentals down first. But if you're a teenager in Christ, maybe you need to understand that there's a little bit more we need to be studying than that, right? As leaders, man, we need to understand and help those people. Jesus, Peter follows Jesus' example and repeats the same word. The word that they use there is a Greek word. It's poimeneo. No. Yes. Poimeneo. How many of you know those words are hard to say? He used it in the first letter that he sent to the church in 1 Peter, the churches of Asia Minor. He said, be shepherds of the flock that is under you, serving as overseers, right? Leadership, helping people grow. Do you know what the best form of leadership is? Example. Leading by example. Leading by example. Do you know the best way that I saw in my life about how to conduct my marriage and how I should treat my wife is by looking at my mom and dad and their marriage? Do you know about being a pastor, the way that I've learned how to do certain things? Now, I still get stuff wrong. All the time I get stuff wrong, but I'm working on it, right? But it's one of those things. Do you know where I learned how to be a pastor? By watching my father and by watching my pastor, Carl Kelly, in Louisiana. By watching them and seeing how they do things and not by saying you do this, but by just doing it and me getting to witness it. First Peter 5:1-4 says, so exalt the elders among you as fellow elders and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flocks of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering for those who you are in charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfaded crown of glory. See, what does it say that we're supposed to do? Not supposed to be controlling or domineering or saying this is who you need to be or this is what you have to do or you have to. I know some churches, man, that before anybody could buy a car, their pastor had to prove it. Before they could do this, they had to go to their pastor and get a blessing. They had to do this. They had to do and there's places out there that people like, we can't function if our pastor doesn't tell us what to do. See, that's not the job of a pastor. It's not the job of a pastor at all. I'm going to get to what the job of a pastor is in a minute, but it's one of those things that we need to be leading those that are, for a lack of a better way to explain it. Well, now let's say it this way, that are younger than us in Christ. We need to be a leader, not just by do this, but showing them by example and in scripture where it says that's what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to act. The second way that he talked to him was about feed my sheep, and it was talking about being a leader, taking care of them, showing them what they should be doing, where they should be at by scripture. The last time that he talks about, the third time, the literal translation means to pastor or to tend, pasture the sheep. Not pastor, but pasture. What does that mean? Again, like I said earlier, you have a certain place, a certain area. This is where you are. Everything's provided here. There's things set in place to properly take care of you as well, right? With sheep, what do they get? They get sheepdogs. They look just like them. They put them in the middle of them. What happens if a wolf or something comes in that shouldn't be there? The sheepdog attacks it. But it's right there with it, right? There's protection. What he's saying is protect my sheep. Feed my people. Take care of them. Make sure that they have all the things that they need. In your notes, pasture my sheep, discipleship. See, because it's not just a find Christ and then you're on your own. It's a process. Find Christ and let's get you plugged in. Let's see what the Word of God says. Let's see where your gifts are. Let's see what you can do. Let's see how you can be used by God and use the talents and abilities God's given you. Let's let you grow into what God created you to be. What's the food that the shepherd feeds the flock, man? What's the food that happens? in our walk and in what we do, the scripture is very clear on it. The word of God, and that's it. The word of God. We see early in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord describing his word as food for his people who live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's Deuteronomy 8:3. Let's read it. It says, he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might take you, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Jesus reiterates it when he's in the wilderness and he's being tempted by the devil, and the devil's trying to tempt him with bread. And what does he say? He said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. This right here is the food that we should be feeding off of. This right here is what we're... the standard that our lives should be held to is this, not society. Not what people say from here it should be, other than it comes from the word of God. It's not what the neighbor looks like, the person standing next to you look like. It's what God says about it, held to his standard. See, James says this. He says, not all of you guys should be teachers because you're held to a higher standard. See, it's not the society standard, even though society looks at leaders, at pastors, at people in the church, people who say that they're Christians, totally different. So you're put on a pedestal by them, hoping to knock you down. That's like at the fair, you know, the bottles they put on the pedestal, and then they give you a softball and start throwing. That's the world's pedestal that it puts on. See, God doesn't put you on a pedestal, but what he does is he holds you accountable to his standards. So we need to be living those out in our lives to be able to share those properly, to be able to take care of those who are coming, those who are younger than us, physically or spiritually, to be able to grow in God's word. We need to be looking to that and sharing that with them, not our opinion of what we think should happen. Hebrews 5:12-14. This is what the scripture says about teaching. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature and for those who have their powers of discernment trained by consistent practice to distinguish good from evil. You know what? You need a foundation so that when all this other stuff comes at you, when all this other doctrine and all these other things that people are peddling and pushing and saying, this is what you need to listen to, there's something inside of you that says, that's not right. That's not right. How do I know that's not right? Because I read it in the Word of God where it said this, this, and this. The Bible says this, this, and this. We need to be, we need to maybe look back and let, see, this is the thing. The Bible says God resists the proud. We need to let go of pride and say, you know what? Maybe I'm still a babe in Christ. Maybe I still need to learn a whole lot. Because you know what I figure out? The more that I learn about this scripture, the more I realize I don't understand anything, right? The deeper I go in it, the more I'm like, wow, what else is in here that I haven't known about for the last 20-something years, right? And then, you know what? I go back and I reread things that I already knew, and I find out something new. His word is alive. It changes. It's the same. It changes in our perception and how the Holy Spirit allows us to have it. Why? Because at some point, we're not able to receive that part yet. We're not big enough. How many of you don't tell your children certain things? Because they're not ready for them yet, right? But as they mature, as they grow, what happens? You show a little bit more. You talk to them a little bit more about this, about this, about this. So that why? So that they can grow and be who they should be. They are protected. They are taken care of. But they're told the truth all the way through. The word of God, that's what we need to do. So this is the thing about being a pastor for me. This is my job. You guys ready? This is how I see it. If you see it different, you can come and talk to me later, and that's okay. We'll talk about it. But my job as a pastor isn't to force feed you the word of God. It's not supposed to tell you how to live your life. It's to point you to the word and share the principles that the word of the word that apply to your situation. So if you come to me about divorce, I'm going to share with you what the word says about getting a divorce. I ain't going to take sides and say, well, you're right, he's horrible, you should get rid of him. It's not what I'm going to do. It's not my place. It's not who I am. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life and say, you need to do this, this, and this. Why? Because then if you do it and something goes wrong, that preacher's the one told me to do it. God's horrible. He told me how to do this, right? I'm not God, first of all, okay? And I get things wrong. That's why the only thing that I need to do is share with you the word of God and what it says you should do. And then say, here, go find it and figure out what you're going to do. Pray about it and ask God to give you wisdom, because that's what the word of God says. That's my job as a pastor. That's why I'm here. It's what I do. It's also to create a place that you can come and know that everything that you get is going to be from the word of God. Because I promise you, man, I take it to heart. If it's not out of this word, if I don't believe that it's out of this word, it ain't going to be told here. It's not. It's not. Why? Because part of the job of a shepherd is to what? To pasture, is to make sure that they're taken care of, make sure that the word of God is right, make sure that what you're being fed isn't going to hurt you. And then the other job is just to love. Just to love, man. You know, this is the other thing, and I don't do this part well, but a lot of people don't really understand that. You guys know the picture, and everybody loves, of the sheep that's hanging over the shepherd's neck, and he's carrying them around, and it's like, oh, that's so beautiful, that's so lovely. Do you know why shepherds used to have to carry sheep like that? Because the sheep would run away, so the shepherd broke his legs, so he couldn't walk. So everything that sheep got depended on the shepherd. And the shepherd, the sheep, had a new love for the shepherd, knowing that it was going to be taken care of. You know, sometimes we got our legs broke because we keep running off. And Jesus has to carry us, right? Why does it happen? So that we get a new love for him, for what he wants to do and who he is in our lives. See, that's not my job. That's his job. That's his job. To take care of us and to lead us and to help us and to discipline us. Galatians 1:6-7 says this: I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Why is it important that we have a foundation and we know what the word of God says? So that when that comes, we see it a mile away. Like, that ain't right. How do I know that? Because I have a foundation. I'm rooted and grounded. I understand what it is. So what's our job as a Christian? Your job, my job, is to study to show ourselves approved. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's our job? To get in his word, to eat, to feed ourselves. Because again, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. If you come on Sunday and you come on Wednesday and that's the only time you're reading this Bible and getting in this word, you're starving yourself spiritually. See, this isn't supposed to be but just like a little appetizer to get you more ready to go into your word. Why do I give you these notes? So you can write on them and leave them in the pew. That's why. No. It's so you can take this home and say, hey, this is what we studied. This is what he preached to me. Let me go find out that it's right. Let me go read it again and see that what he said is right. Why? Because it's your job. It's my job to preach things. It's your job to make sure what you believe is right from me or from anybody else. From me or anybody else. You need to get in your word. You need to study. You need to feed on what God has put before you. What is that? His word, his principles. Of how do I go through life? David said this, your word I've hid in my heart, so I might not sin against you. I put your word inside there. When Jesus was tempted, what did he do? He used the word of God to defeat every temptation that was there, everything that came to him. How do you overcome? How do I overcome these things? By getting God's word in there. And when those things come, standing on it, holding on to it, claiming it. That's what we need to do. Jesus told Peter, what's my job, man? Feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, take care of the young ones that are just coming to know me, that need to understand what a real foundation, what the scripture truly says. Feed my sheep. Lead. Help lead people. Teach sprouts, man. Teach kids. come and hang out with the youth, get to know them. Our job is to love, to share, and to help each other be the best that we can be. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Guys, you can come on back up. Today, I want you to think about where you're at in your walk, in your life, in your reading, in your studies, in knowing what God's word says, because this is the thing. He didn't just save us just so that we could go be with the Father. That's access to the Father is the main reason why he's there. But why then does he not take us just to go straight to be with him as soon as it's done? Because he uses us to share with other people. He uses us for the ministry of reconciliation that we talked about a couple weeks ago. He uses us to honor those people around. He uses us to help train and teach people his word, his principles, and how we should act and who we should be in him. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. Say, man, I got some changes. I got some things that I need to think about. I need to get back in my word. I need to start studying. I need to not lead by beating people up with the Bible. I need to just give them grace and say, hey, this is what his word says. This is what he wants for you, and it's available for you if you'll just take it. How do I know it's there? Because look at my life. This is where it's at in my life. This is where it's found in the scripture. Man, go check it out. Go see what God has to say to you about it. Dear Heavenly Father, as we get ready to go out these doors today, as we get ready to see you and see the people you've placed into our lives, and I ask that you would help us this week to get in your word, to learn what it says, to learn what it means, to be able to help clean up some messes when the time comes, to give grace and mercy and walk through things with people. And help us, Father God, to just show you to everybody. I ask that you would help us with that this week. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.